Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. We're going to talk to Jeff Jadia from NFL Network now. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Jeff, do you have any news or tidbits you'd like to talk about? We're searching for subjects. We don't know what to say. Anything going on?
I was on vacation. I've been on vacation. I woke up from a nap yesterday, and I got a text from Jake, and I got a call from my office, and people kept asking about the Chiefs, and I was like, had not heard the news. So I was kind of like, why are people caring about the Chiefs when it's June 22nd?
Right.
It was. And then I turned on the TV set, and everything got clarified. So we can talk about that if you want. Other than that, that's all I got. That's all I got.
I was gonna ask you about the Royals,
but yeah.
That's fine. Okay, so the timing of it. So first, the Chiefs send out the press release and tweet out social media and everything that they had agreed to an extension with Andy Reid. And Andy Reid and John Dorsey were both entering the fifth and final year of their contracts, and so. While we're all talking about that and tweeting about that and reacting to that, about 45 minutes later, out comes the news that John Dorsey and the Chiefs are parting ways. And there's a lot of the people in the front office are on vacation right now. And so all you had was the two press releases with some quotes in it. And then there was a letter sent out by Clark Hunt to season ticket holders that talks about it as well. But look, everyone's saying the same thing. This is not a mutual deal. This is John Dorsey being fired. And we just retweeted Charles Robinson, who writes for Yahoo, and he says, spoken with several sources about Chiefs firing John Dorsey. He didn't know it was coming. Whatever issues developed, this blindsided him. So, Jeff, what's your reaction? Well, I mean, what's your reaction to all this stuff?
I'm as shocked as everybody else. I've talked to a few people since then, and I've heard some interesting things. I think the two things that I've heard that have kind of like made me think about where Clark Hunt may have been going with this. I mean, obviously he made the decision. He's the only one who knows what went into that decision as of this point. But the two things I kept hearing was that John Dorsey's management style was causing problems, and that the second one was that this whole notion about him being a candidate in Green Bay, which came up back in January, and I thought it was weird at the time that it came up, because it seemed like, why would that be getting floated by a guy about somebody who already has a job, has been with an organization that's been doing well, but somebody just told me they think that was something that was concocted as a self-promotional tool to help with leverage with negotiations with Hunt. And this person had, basically said that he liked Dorsey, but he also felt like Dorsey had gotten somewhat power hungry, and maybe the success he'd enjoyed over the last 4 years had gone to his head to a certain degree, and that maybe he thought he might have gotten a little bit too greedy in his negotiation with Clark. That's this guy speculating, but again, that's something that this person also has been around Dorsey and has seen the way things have gone. And we've talked about this as well, going back to the first point, in terms of the management style, the salary cap issues, the tampering charge, the negotiations with Houston and Barry, the way those went south and led to them having to pay more money in the second go-around of negotiations. And, and maybe even some of the stuff with Jeremy Maclin, a big contract. He's let go after a couple of years. I don't buy so much into the whole thing of, he released me on a voicemail, that story. But, I mean, I believe it happened. I don't think it was a factor in this. But there was a lot of bad press going on with this team every offseason. And I'm sure if John Dorsey pushed this in negotiations, that Clark Hunt felt as if, look, I'm hearing rumors about you in Green Bay and what's happening here. Do you want to be here? I'm sure that could easily lead to Clark Hunt saying, hit the bricks.
The Green Bay thing certainly makes sense. You mentioned management style? Do you have anything else specific or something that this person said that maybe Clark Hunt didn't like when you say management style?
Well, it came through more in a text, but what he said in the text was the Chiefs are used to being a first-class organization and that some of the decisions that were made. I think it's not just the decisions, but the way the decisions played publicly. That speaks specifically about Eric Berry and the insurance policy on the cancer. I think that is something that doesn't play well outside of a negotiation. Certainly with what Macklin's been saying about playing with a torn groin, that may be part of this as well, that you've waited, 3 months into the offseason to let a guy go when you could have made a move earlier. Keep in mind, John Dorsey did do some good things here. Obviously, they drafted some good players, some guys who are really going to be really good players for a long period of time. I don't want to diminish his legacy in that way. But I do think that there were some questions about within the organization, and not just I'm speaking for Clark Hunt here. I'm talking people who worked in the personnel department about what he was doing and how he was doing and how decisions were being made.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why we're so stunned by this, is because the team went from being really bad to having a winning record every year since he's been the GM. So, like you said, we can list a lot of things that haven't gone right, but overall they've been winning games, so it just caught us all off guard. Now, you said that maybe the timing of the Macklin thing when they let him go after the torn groin and all that could have played poorly. But it sounds like you don't think that the voicemail issue is a significant one. But as Steven has pointed out, it sure made a lot of headlines. I mean, boy, a lot of different news outlets and NFL outlets. That was like the headline was Macklin found out via voicemail. How uncommon is that in your experience with the GM? You don't think that's one of the issues here?
I don't think it's a huge issue. I don't think it was right, given the relationship that Macklin had with Andy Reid, given, the way he carries himself, what he'd done for the team, being a team leader. But no, I mean, I think there's I've heard plenty of stories, not specifically voicemail stories, about how guys have been released that, I remember what the Patriots back after they won the Super Bowl in 2001, the next season, they cut Lawyer Malloy like on the last cut down date. And that was like a huge story for a long period of time. We didn't like how that went down, but it's just, these things happen. But I do believe that there's no way Clark Hunt would have done this if he felt as if it had to be done back in February or March, that something led up to this. Something happened in these negotiations where Clark Hunt felt like, okay, you're not what we want anymore. I'm not playing this game anymore. You're out. Because Chris Ballard was sitting there, up until whatever he was hired in Indianapolis back in February or January, and he would have been a very sensible hire if John Dorsey was on the way out, if Clark Hunt felt he had to get rid of him. I also believe that this talk about Green Bay being a logical landing spot for him, I do believe what my guy told me that, and my guy said there's no way the Packers would ever do that, that he definitely believes that this was something that was pushed out by Dorsey's people to help him in leverage, because Green Bay already has at least three candidates in-house, including the son of Ron Wolf, who built that team up when Brett Favre was there, who are very hot GM candidates. So if Ted Thompson were to leave there, it's very likely one of those people would get that job, would be in the running to get that job. So if Dorsey did overplay his hand here in negotiations, and that led to Clark Hunt saying, you know what, we can do well without you, which I believe they can, because the way this is set up, it's very much like Pete Carroll and John Snyder in Seattle, that set up there where you have a strong head coach and you have a GM who is very comfortable, being a 1A, 1B type thing. Like John Dorsey wasn't Andy Reid's boss. And I'm sure Clark Hunt felt like, I have a lot more faith in Andy Reid and finding somebody to work with him than I do in trying to figure out how to live without, Andy Reid. So I'm sure Clark Hunt feels very good about this team going forward, knowing that Andy Reid's still the coach.
That's the way I feel. I feel, yep, as long as Andy Reid is the head coach, this team is going to be a playoff contender and win 9, 10, 11, 12 games year after year. And maybe that's foolish, and that'll end up being wrong. But that's how much faith and confidence I have in Andy Reid, because I think he's a top five coach in the NFL. And if he's not top five, he's right on the outside of that. He's one of the best, in my opinion. But like with the Macklin thing, I just think that was just another thing,
yeah,
you know, that added up, because, like you said, the Clark Hunt family, they want to be viewed as a first-class organization and something that makes them look like something other than a first-class organization. They don't like that. And that's what all the headlines were. And people like, why would you do that to a 9-year vet who is widely respected by all the coaches and teammates and opposition, that we've talked about being a leader and a great guy in the wide receiver room? That made them look bad, and I'm sure Clark Hunt did not like that. And so now, with this team moving forward again, I have a lot of faith in Andy Reid that this team will continue to win. What do you think happens now? Do you think they will promote someone like Brett Veach from within? Do you think they go outside the organization again? What do you think the next move is? Because of this interesting timing, I think this is going to be fascinating to watch.
Well, I think they don't have to rush anything. You know, it is the summertime. You've got 6 weeks before training camp. There's no, like, pressing business that you have to deal with. That, you know, they can get stuff done because it's stuff taken care of. I think that they – I don't know where they are as far as having signed draft picks or whatever. That's probably the only thing they have to really do, and that's pretty straightforward stuff nowadays. But, yeah, I think I would take my time and make sure you get it right, because whoever you hire, you're not trying to, like, just do a shotgun marriage here. You know, you want to believe in what the person is doing. You want to believe in their ability to work with Andy Reid going forward, and you want to keep this thing moving in the right direction. You know, they do. Again, I think losing a guy like Chris Ballard is tough. I think if he was there, it'd be a no-brainer.
Yes.
I can't speak as well to Veach, because I think he's not somebody who was on the radar in the offseason for other teams. You know, they lost Will Lewis, the pro personnel director, that Dorsey fired. So that was another person who would have had experience who you could see in the mix. But there are a lot of people out there who can do the job. I mean, there's always, every season, plenty of people who are in good organizations, who've got experience, who can carry the ball, so to speak. So I don't think it's going to be hard, I think. And I think Clark Hunt will be looking for somebody to be what Dorsey was when he got here, somebody who's going to be very comfortable working with Andy, not having to have a ton of power, fitting into a role. And that's, I go back to that point that was made. I kind of glossed over it, but this sense within the department that Dorsey changed a little bit as he got more comfortable in his role with his success, that he became somebody who, as this source says, who got greedy and got full of himself. I definitely think that humility and playing a role will probably be a big part of what Clark Hunt wants in the next GM he has.
And they have one. But I look, I'm not trying to downplay what John Dorsey did, but I give the majority of credit to that for their winning to Andy Reid. And look, he, and I'm sure Clark Hunt probably feels the same way, because Andy Reid signed an extension and Dorsey's gone. But when you look, and Jeff, having you in studio over the years, we've talked about these different things. You know, waiting too long to sign Justin Houston to the extension cost him a lot of money. Same thing with Eric Berry. Then the dealings with Eric Berry that's kind of left a bitter taste in Eric Berry's mouth. If you're going to butt heads with someone, why Eric Berry? I mean, choose your battles, man. And then on top of that, we haven't really talked about a lot today, losing a third-round pick because of tampering with Jeremy Macklin, and then in that same draft, spending a third-round pick on a guy that didn't even make it to game one. There were some weird things that kind of went, the Tamba Hali contract, because of the misdiagnosis with Justin Houston, so they put themselves in a corner, and they had to give this contract to Tamba Hali that isn't working out right now. And so there have been some things that, if you're Clark Hunt, would add up, and then, like you said, not totally buy into this, with the negotiations, if things went south there, Clark Hunt would say, you know what, I got Andy Reid. I'm good. I don't need this. I'm good. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, that's the way I read it. if I'm reading between the lines and trying to connect the dots, that's the way I read it, where there was enough, damn sure, of where you're really strong, and you better be really careful about, the things that you're not really strong in. And I do think it is possible, and I'm only speculating here. I can't, speak for what happened here. It is possible here that if John Dorsey, if he walked into that room with a sense of entitlement, of a sense of overplaying his hand, and had, if he did in fact, try to leverage this whole talk about him going to Green Bay into something in a negotiation. Again, if I'm Clark Hunt, I'm sitting there going, all right, well, I'm not going to have you play me. And I will say this, that, again, when I heard that talk about him being associated with Green Bay back in January, which seemed to come out of nowhere, my first feeling was, well, somebody's floating this to try to sell John Dorsey. And I didn't know much about the negotiations. I didn't follow much about what was going on with him. I knew he was getting close to the end of his deal. But I could see that setting the stage for this whole process, what we're talking about now, of Clark Hunt seeing that and saying, why is my GM being associated with this job? And why hasn't he signed this extension if I'm trying to take care of this guy? Because really, no disrespect to John Dorsey in this way, but he wasn't the hottest name in the world when they picked him to be the GM here. It wasn't like you were saying, okay, I got to go get this guy because of this reason. He came from a great organization. He had solid credentials, but there are a lot of guys in the same, category as him when he was brought here. And if that's how Clark Hunt is looking at this thing, and he's seeing it as Andy Reid was the crown jewel, and you were the person that Andy Reid said would be a good fit here, like, why all of a sudden am I going to, overextend myself to make you happy? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I've already done enough to give you an opportunity, and I've been respectful of you, I've seen success, I've tolerated some of the mistakes you made, and now you're going to demand X, which we have to assume that that had to have happened. It's a negotiation. Then, I think Clark Hunt probably said, well, this isn't what I want. I can find somebody else like you. Because that's the way it reads. It's like, end of the day, if John Dorsey had more value to Clark Hunt, he would have a job. But Clark Hunt at some point felt like, I can replace you. Maybe not the coach, but I can replace you.
Okay, so I think we're all in agreement that Andy Reid is the person we give the majority of the credit to. This organization's in good hands if Andy Reid's the coach. Two things I want to get your thoughts on, Jeff, on this, though. One, Sam Mellinger, in his column, wrote a list of things that he knows to be true. Is what he said, here's what I know to be true. And the first one is, the second one, I should say, is Reid was told about Dorsey but not asked to approve or give input on the decision. That seems almost impossible for me to believe from this standpoint. And I trust that Sam's been told that. I trust everything about the way Sam writes and reports. But all of what we just said, if I put myself in Clark Hunt's shoes and I feel like as long as I've got Andy Reid, I'm good, I don't make this move unless I at least run it by Andy Reid and say, hey, man, if Andy Reid tells me no way, we're a package. I need decision making if I'm Clark Hunt. Am I wrong there?
Well, that tells me that Andy Reid didn't say no way.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So you that with this, Andy Reid?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that. And Andy Reid's somebody who, if you go back to his days in Philadelphia, Andy Reid had a bit of a power struggle. Had a couple power struggles there, and he won one, and he essentially lost one in a way. But he knows how this game is played too. Yeah, I totally think there's no way Andy Reid would say, I'm just going to come to the Chiefs to coach this team and not have some say or not have some input. A valuable input, not just like a rubber stamp of who is going to be the GM here.
Right.
But again, I've never seen, and they've been kind of coy in as far as how they address the power structure there. But, going around the NFL as much as I've been done in the last 20-some years, when you see the way it's set up here, John Dorsey was never the boss.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, we can all agree on that. So however they want to paint it as, Reid didn't have approval or didn't have total say in this, end of the day, John Dorsey was never perceived as his boss. And that's the way I saw it. I mean, I think they were partners, but it was never a situation of he had control over. He couldn't fire Andy Reid without Clark. If Andy Reid was going to be fired, Clark Hunt was the one who was going to do it.
Right. I've always thought from day one this is Andy Reid's football team. They hired Andy Reid first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Andy exactly. Reid, you know, this he runs the show and answers to Clark Hunt. And maybe Andy Reid didn't push him out. Maybe this wasn't Andy Reid's idea. But I could, in my opinion, if Clark Hunt did go to him and say, hey, this is what we're doing, if Andy Reid says, no, this is my guy. I need him.
Right.
If I'm going to stay here, I need my guy. Then John Dorsey's still the GM right
yes,
now.
Yes, that's my point.
So
yes.
I don't think Andy Reid. Yes. So Andy Reid didn't say, "Hey, I got to." Andy was like, "Oh, okay, you're the boss. Do what you got to do."
Okay.
Yeah. Now, and I will say this: going back to the Macklin point, I will say the more I thought about this, and I haven't talked to Jeremy or anybody involved with this thing since then. We all know the timing of it was strange. I do suspect that. It's very possible that Dorsey wanted to make that move back in whatever, February, March, and probably Reid fought for Macklin, knowing what had gone on. Now, knowing what we know about this torn groin, that maybe Reid had said, hey, give him more of a shot here, give him more opportunity to see what he can do here. And maybe that may have soured their relationship a little bit. But that's the only thing I think as far as a Macklin thing that could be a factor here, that maybe Reid said, screw it, I'll just go ahead and figure out a way to get by without this guy.
One last thing I want to ask you about, and look, I feel like I need to ask you about it just because I know where I was last night. Every person that came up to me brought this up. I think we all will agree on the answer to this, but I want to get your perspective on it. One of the biggest things that happened this offseason was the drafting of Pat Mahomes and the trading up to get him. And so I had a lot of people say, does this mean that Andy Reid and John Dorsey weren't on the same page with Pat Mahomes? I personally can't imagine that they make that type of a move without all three, the owner, the coach, and the GM, discussing it and being on the same page. But what would you say to somebody if they asked you, what does this mean about Pat Mahomes?
Oh, I believe they were on the same page with him because they both had – I think Dorsey saw Brett Favre in him. I think Andy saw the need of having an explosive quarterback, a dynamic quarterback. I don't think you make a move like that, giving up what they gave up to get Mahomes without everybody signing off on it. And to be honest with you, knowing how Dorsey has operated in terms of how he's drafted, to fill needs that potentially could be open at 1 or 2 years down the road, the D4 drafting being the perfect example of that, when maybe Justin Houston might not have been somebody they could have held on to. I definitely think the Machiavellian side of Dorsey saw it as, this is at least, two more years on top of what I already have coming, to run this franchise, because if Alex Smith, if it takes 2 years for Mahomes to get settled, and it's going to take maybe you give Mahomes at least 2 years as a starter to kind of get his feet wet and get acclimated, that's 4 more years. So I certainly feel like there was a benefit from a job security standpoint to Dorsey and Reid to make the move to say, okay, we're going to transition and here's what we have in place and we'll have more time to make this work and we'll make more money in the end.
And these different issues we brought up with contracts and things, that's put them in a situation where they are up against the salary cap, and that's why they had to let go of Jeremy Macklin, predominantly because of money. And so I had someone tell me last night, okay, well, it appeared, though, that Tripp McCracken was the guy that took the bullet for that one. And so, okay, he's going to take the blame for that, for the salary cap mess or whatever else. And then the move on, which to me adds even more to the theory that something happened since then with these negotiations. Like, it wasn't just all that. But, hey, he lost his job for the salary cap hell they're in and the dead money, which is significant. And so then when you go in, like you said, to have these negotiations. And if you do have, if like people said, have, you got a big head now, and you're thinking you're worth all this money, then, well, boy, you better be ready, because then the opposition, then the ownership or the guy you're trying to negotiate with, because well, how about all this stuff right here that other people are losing their job for? Then what the hell? And then you're going to come in here and demand more money, and you're not the only person that said that. So that just sounds right to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it goes back to, I don't know if you ever watched Ocean's 13 with George Clooney and Brad Pitt, and there's a scene in there where Bernie Mac is working in a casino, and he has a big screw up as part of this con game they're running, and Al Pacino shows up, and Bernie Mac's like apologizing for screwing up, and Al Pacino goes, "Hey, look, it's okay. It's not your fault. I should have fired the guy who hired you, you know, years ago." You know, there's a lot to be said. You can blame Trip McCracken, but John Dorsey hired the guy or kept him around. You know, it's like you can blame, you know, Will Lewis, who they got rid of, but at the end of the day, John Dorsey was his boss. You know, the bottom line falls on you eventually. But we had this conversation, you know, a couple weeks ago around minicamp time when we said, you know, we were talking about the Macklin thing and what happened. And I made the point, like, looking back on it, I was just kind of being a flip. But, you know, you asked me, are they rebuilding without telling anybody? And I said, I think they're making a lot of mistakes without trying to tell anybody. and I don't think that was lost on Clark Hunt. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't see this as... It's very hard for me to think that Clark Hunt, like, or John Dorsey, when he's in negotiations, that Clark Hunt was thinking, I'm going to fire this guy. It's very easy for me to see it as John Dorsey probably pushing too far, and Clark Hunt saying, "This is you just made a huge mistake here." Because I think John Dorsey likes being here. I know his wife is a lawyer. I think at Polsinelli, one of the law firms downtown, she went to Kansas. So there's ties here. People talk about him having that home of Wisconsin and, again, all the ties to the Packers. But I really think he had a good gig here. And if, in fact, he did allow his ego to get out of control, which is I do think happened because these are people who work with him, if he did overplay his hand, which I'm speculating there, but I could see that happening. I think he made a big mistake.
Jeff, thank you very much for the time today. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Take care.
It is Jeff Chedia from NFL Network. Great stuff, as always, from Jeff Chedia for NFL Network, based here in Kansas City. Back after this. Are you leaving, aren't you?
Yeah.
Say goodbye to Nate. Kansas City. He's going to the West Coast.
Why not? Going back, right. Back to Cali.
But he's
going to
bring back a win for Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, that's right.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.